But I felt it tonight. It's time for you to throw yourself off the bench. Wherever that you've been sitting at, it's time for you to cast yourself into the fray. It's time for you to put your skin in the game. Amen? Is this all right? It's time for us to fully invest who we are and what we are in the kingdom of God. Okay. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, took a lamb out of the flock. I went out after him and smote him, delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he'll also deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." I love the attitude of David. Right here, we see a confidence begin to spring forth out of this young man. And I love because he says, "Let no man's heart fail." Don't anybody start worrying. Don't anybody get upset. Don't worry yourself. Don't get stressed out. I got this. "Thy servant will go and fight. I'll join the fray. I'll step in, and I know that the Lord that was with me with the lion, with me with the bear, will also be with me to overcome this giant that nobody else can seem to destroy or overcome." I think that tonight we need to get the spirit of David down deep within us. I feel like we need some folks that will just simply step out and begin to say, "You know what? I'm sick and tired of it. I don't care what happens. I'm getting ready to set myself into the fight that God has put before me." Amen. I want to preach to you for a few moments tonight on this title, Make It Happen. Make it happen. I believe, and I've got to say this right now because I felt it before, but I believe, Brother Pugh, that you would much rather correct somebody than have to consistently challenge somebody. I feel like I'm the football player that's too small to play football. I feel that's true, my wife said. I feel like I'm that football player. I want to play so bad, and I believe that if you give me the ball, I can make a touchdown. Now, you might have to correct me at different times, Brother Pugh, but hand me that ball and let me get out there. Would you much rather have a player like that or one that you got to say, "Come on, Bubba, take this ball and start running into the end zone"? But Brother Pugh, I don't know if I can do it or not. I've got a lot of things going on in my life right now. I just don't know if I can handle this. I don't know if I can. Which one would you rather have, Brother Pugh?
I'd rather have the one that wanted to run.
I want you to close your eyes right now. Lift up your hands. And I want you to lift up your voice right this moment. Lord God, we come before you right now. Lord, we are putting everything into your capable hands. Lord, we are asking that the anointing of the Holy Ghost would rest upon this service, Lord. We want your presence and your spirit to guide, lead, and direct us this evening. Lord, we don't want our own will to be accomplished. Lord, we want to facilitate thy will. Lord, empower us. Let the angels of the Lord begin to flow and begin to flock within this house tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And somebody shout out loud at the top of your lungs to the great and almighty God. Lift up your voice. voice and follow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all can be seated tonight. Hallelujah. I feel like God's wanting to anoint an entire generation. I don't feel like there's any, I don't feel like there should just be any saints within the church that just facilitate to fill a pew, but I believe that God wants to anoint every single man and every single woman that's in this house tonight. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't say it, but I believe it, and I believe that God wants to utilize each and every one of us if we will push ourselves and position ourselves in the place to be used of God. Amen. There is a parrot that is native to a particular area in Nicaragua. What makes this parrot of particular interest is that it nests in the middle of the Masaya volcano crater. It is the how the parrot lives and where it is that is peculiar. For whatever reason, this volcano is the only place that this parrot can live in. It is either chosen to live there or because of the geological layout that it is the only place that the parrot has to live. Coincidentally, this volcano crater releases lethal amounts of sulfuric fumes on a consistent basis. How the parrot lives in such a hostile environment is what have scientists confounded today. They don't know how the parrot lives in a deadly atmosphere, folks. They cannot explain how this happens. They think that somehow the lungs inside of the parrot have adjusted to the amounts of sulfuric fumes that have been radiating out of the volcano. That's the only thing that they can come to, is somehow this parrot has adapted to its environment. Now, normally this type of behavior is a positive attribute, a tremendous talent to have, that you can exist and adapt to whatever area and wherever you are and live in a potentially hostile environment. But the parrot, to describe it a little better, the parrot is unable to change its environment, and so the parrot simply adapts to its environment. How many of you at points and times in your life have gone through something, an occasion has occurred that it was easier to adapt to the situation than it was to change the situation? Amen? Anybody here, raise your hand, that you've gone through something and it just seemed like it was easier to go with the flow than it was to combat it or to come against it. Amen? Anybody else, raise your hand if that's ever happened to you before. It's happened to us all at points in time to where we choose rather to simply accept our present circumstance than to fight against our present circumstance. Because it is always easier to adapt than it is to change. I can just simply give in, go with the flow, and just let whatever's going on go on. I can change my spiritual walk to adapt to the situation that I'm in, and life gets a whole lot easier. Can I get an amen? It's just easier at times, Brother Pugh, to just allow what we're going through to define us and to guide us and direct us than it is to come up against whatever that is attacking us. It's easier to go with the flow than it is to stand against the flow. Amen? And so here we have the illustration that gives us the understanding of where we are. Now, Michael Jordan, the famous basketball player, said this. He said, some people want it to happen, some people wish it would happen, and others just make it happen. In other words, Michael Jordan begins to tell us and begins to transfer to us the formula for a champion. A champion is not somebody that sits back and simply just wants something different to take place. A champion is not somebody that just sits back and wishes that something would take place, that something would change, that something would be different, but a champion is somebody that actually stands up and just makes it happen. Amen. How many of y'all, what is your goal in your mind? What is it that you desire to see happen within the church? Do you see in your mind's eye when you're thinking about the things of God and what your heart desires for this church? Do you see people praying and weeping and interceding within these altars here tonight? Is that what you see in your mind that you desire to have happen? Brother Pugh, I am reminded of former days that have gone by where I was an 11, 12 year old boy sitting on the front seat, and it was an every service occasion. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, no matter what day of the week it was, every single one of us young men were going to get up off of our seats and start running around that entire church shouting and jumping up and down and praising God. Why is that? Because we felt something in our heart. We desired to see and to feel the anointing and the presence of God begin to sweep over that. We were addicted unto that glorious presence of the Lord. We were addicted unto feeling the presence of God in ways that we had never experienced before in our lives. Any opportunity that we had, any time that we could, we were shouting and dancing, because it was in those moments when we shouted, when we jumped, when we lift up our hands, when we would begin to speak in tongues out loud, and we would begin to glorify God. It was those times that I remember being overcome by the Holy Ghost, and I would bend over in the floor as the power of God would settle from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and I would feel the anointing, and I would feel the glory, and I would feel the presence of the Lord begin to sweep over me. Does anybody remember services like that? Does anybody remember when drug addicts would come in and throw their needles and throw their bags of marijuana on the altar? Does anybody remember that? Can you go back to that place in your mind where things like that happened? I remember, Brother Pugh, I remember being in the services where little 11-year-old boys would come up to the altar. They'd lift up their hands and they'd say, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. And they'd go over and they'd get it in their pockets, and they'd take out crack cocaine and needles, and they'd throw them up on the altar, and they'd say, I can't have that anymore. Folks, it did not happen in just a wish it would happen environment. It did not happen because we wanted it to happen. Because I believe that right now, every person that I am preaching to tonight, from the eldest to the youngest, wants to see those kind of things happen. If you want to see the Shekinah glory of God settle in a church service, I want you to jump to your feet and shout, amen. You can be seated. If you want to see the miraculous presence of God and you want to see your backslidden children and your family members pray back through into the church. You want to see those kind of things happen. You want to see shackles of addiction and shackles of bondage, of depression, of darkness, spiritual and physical, begin to fall off of people when they walk in these back doors. I want you to jump to your feet again and shout amen. How many, you can be seated. We're going to take it a step up. How many of y'all hope and wish that it would happen? How many of y'all wish that you could have stories of seeing the wings of angels begin to glisten and glitter around a church service? How many of y'all wish that you could see and feel and experience what it's like to lay hands on the sick and watch them be recovered? How many of y'all wish in every part of your heart and who you are that when we would pray for people that limbs would grow back, that plagues would be delivered off of them? How many of y'all wish that stuff like that would happen within the house of God? If you wish it would happen, jump to your feet and shout, amen. How many of y'all see it taking place? How many of y'all wish it would happen? How many of y'all desire it to take place? It's not just a hot point. It's not just a big word. But you really want to see the miraculous of God begin to break forth on the church. You can be seated. Some people want it to happen. Some people wish it would happen, and others just make it happen. Some people wish that they could experience the presence of God. Some people want to feel the miraculous hand of God, and others just make it happen. Others, because they want to and because they wish it, they move a step further and they begin to position themselves in the place to where it can happen. Folks, if I don't speak it into existence, it's never gonna take place. I don't know how God does what he does. I can't explain people receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. I still don't know how it works. But unless I stand up here and release the word, nobody's going to get the Holy Ghost and nobody's going to get healed. I don't have to understand how it works. I've just got to be willing to position myself in the place and begin to magnify God, speak the word of faith, and make something take place that has never taken place before. Brother Pugh, it's amazing. Am I doing all right? It's amazing. I saw those kind of things happen. And Brother Pugh, in almost every service, now people have received the Holy Ghost. We've seen people get healed, things of that nature. And it's been a very quiet point in the service. But there's always been a preparation beforehand. Always, every time. Something begins to arise in the people. Something begins to take place.
and you got in youth camps. You got kids that don't, and please don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be degrading here, but I understand I don't know everything right now. I don't understand everything. I feel like I'm still a kid myself, and I'm trying to figure things out. You hear me? You hear me tonight? Children that don't, young people that don't know everything about life and everything that entails with it, but they don't care. They begin to step out and they begin to intercede with prayer, and they begin to lift up their voice. And many of them probably just, many of them probably come from broken homes, and they come from youth groups of one or two, and they come from places all around that aren't the conducive conditions to see what needs to happen. But yet, they get in a place to where that faith begins to rise, and you see little ones that don't know hardly anything about the Word of God, but they begin to lift up their voice, and they begin to shout out loud to the top of their lungs. They begin to let tears run down their face. They cry with everything that's within them, and you see the presence of God begin to sweep into that place and take over. You've seen it, and I've seen it. What is the difference? The difference is some people wish it would happen, some people want it to happen, and others just step in and begin to make it happen. What you doing, sis? Why are you lifting up your voice like that? Why are you crying out loud? She's just making something happen. Don't worry about her. Don't worry about what she's doing. She's just stepping into the place where something happens different than what's going on. Playmaker has three things. Playmaker has three things. The first thing he has is vision. Vision. That's all he has. First thing he's got is vision. That playmaker on the soccer field or the football field, baseball field, whatever that it is, he sees what needs to take place. He sees it. He sees if I run over here and I stop right behind this guy, they can pass me the ball. I can move around him, and I've got an angle on the goal, and I can kick the goal through. That's the playmaker. The playmaker stands back there and sees the running back's knuckles. They used to teach us in high school, if they were something about the knuckles, I can't even remember it, that if the knuckles weren't white, then that means they were running because they didn't have all their weight on their hand. But if their knuckles were white, you didn't have to worry about that guy because he is pressed down. He's not going anywhere. They would teach us stuff like that. And that safety sees that the knuckles of that man and says, his knuckles ain't white. He's getting ready to receive the ball. I'm going to move, and you'll see that safety. And he'll move over because he sees what's getting ready to take place. He sees what needs to happen. Vision is the number one thing that the playmaker has to have. He has to be able to see what needs to take place. The second thing that he has to have is position. How many of us see something that needs to happen, but yet fail to position ourselves to carry it out? Brother Pugh, I see that every person in this house needs to pray tonight. Do you see that? Do you see that every person needs to just bury their face in the floor? Let bygones be bygones. Let their spirits open up. Let their hearts that have been chained and locked down just begin to open up and flow out and say, I don't care what's happening. You know that needs to happen tonight, don't you, Pastor? I know you need to. I know you know that needs to happen. That playmaker, how many times do we see it but then fail to position ourselves in the place where it needs to be carried out? Now, all of us can see what needs to take place tonight. Am I right? I'm working this as best as I can, folks. I'm doing it as best as I can feel at this point. But I believe that God is looking for some men and women in the church. Not perfect men and women. Not primed men and women. Not men and women that's got everything together. But God's looking for an available vessel that will see what needs to happen and that is willing to position themselves in the place to carry it out. You hear me tonight? The playmaker is not always the most talented. The playmaker is not the one that always has the most ability. The playmaker is the one that can see it and positions himself to be able to carry it out. Now tonight, you see what needs to take place. I just want to be very honest. If you see what needs to happen in your family, what needs to happen in this church, what needs to happen in this service right now, I want you to raise your hand. Keep your hands up, those that raise your hand. If you don't see it, if you don't know what needs to happen, if you can't see what needs to take place tonight, the openness and the pouring out of your heart, keep your hand down. But if you raised your hand tonight, you are a playmaker. I don't care what you think that you are. I don't care what you think that your life is, how negligent, how empty, whatever that you consider yourself to be. If you raise your hand, you're saying, I can see what needs to take place. If you can see what needs to happen, you are a playmaker. If you can see what needs to happen, you are essential unto the kingdom of God. I want everybody that raised your hands to also lift up your voice right now, and I want you to begin to shout aloud unto the Lord. I want you to shout aloud with everything within you, holding nothing back. Lift your voice to the Lord. It's time to throw ourselves off the bench. If you've been glued to the bench because you can't see yourself, or you still got failures in your life that you can't seem to work out, honey, if you wait until all your failures are worked out, you'll die an old man or an old woman, never knowing and never experiencing the fullness of God. I don't have all my faults worked out, but I can see what needs to happen. I'm not afraid to position myself. And the third thing that they need to have is they need to be willing to carry out what they have seen and what they have positioned themselves for. What that means is, if you see it, you got to prepare yourself and position yourself in the place to carry it out. But then when the time comes, when the ball comes your way, you can't just kick it away or not do anything. You got to put action into what you know needs to happen. The woman with the issue, I'm going to work through this because I'm not just going to yell and scream, because there's a point on your side. I said it with a smile. There's responsibility on your side. Is that all right? It's not the evangelist's responsibility, is it? I don't have any skin in the game, do I, Brother Pugh? I'm not invested in it, am I? I'm just coming through, but this is your family. This is your family. These are your pews. These are your altar services. This is your changing of lives. This is your spiritual environment. This is your breakthroughs and your children's breakthroughs and your grandchildren's breakthroughs. This is your atmosphere of the Holy Ghost. The woman with the issue of blood. Number one, she saw what needed to happen, did she not? She said within herself right then, she said, if I touch the hem of his garment, within herself, did she not? So here she is. That woman with the issue of blood, she's a playmaker, bro. She's a playmaker. She says, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I just, I'm visualizing myself, touching just the hem, getting down and touching the hem of his garment. And I see if I get down and I touch that hem, I'm going to receive my healing. I'm going to be made whole. But then what does she do? She doesn't just go with that vision, go with that prophetic dream that she was having or vision that she was having. But here's what she did. She got up in her condition. She got up with the pain still racking through her body. And she begins to go to where she has seen that needs to happen. She positions herself. And she presses through the crowd. And she gets to the feet of Jesus. And she reaches out. Now she has envisioned it. She has positioned herself, and now you see the action. She reaches that little hand that's been leaking blood out, that issue of blood that's been pouring out of her body. She reaches out that hand, and she brings into fulfillment everything she has seen and positioned herself for. She reaches out and begins to put in action the faith that she conjured in her mind and what she had positioned herself for. She reaches out and she grabs a hold of the hem of his garment. And immediately, the Bible says, immediately virtue went out of the Savior and in to the crippledness, in to the deficiency. Immediately, she was made whole from the issue that she had plaguing her life. Amen. Caleb, when he came to the mountain, you remember Caleb? When he came and he said, let this mountain be my mountain. He said, this is my mountain. Why did Caleb say that? Because Caleb was a playmaker. Caleb said, 80 years ago, the Lord promised me through this mountain through Moses. And for 80 years, I've been envisioning what needs to take place. For 80 years, I've been going through hell. And I've been going through a desert area. I've been going through things. I've put up with the murmuring. And I put up with the complaining. I put up with my life seeming like it's consistently out of order. But what Caleb sees is he saw the promise of God, and then he was not scared to position himself. He comes up to Joshua and he says, Joshua, give me therefore this mountain. And Joshua says, why, Caleb? He said, the Lord promised me this mountain, and now I'm getting ready to take this mountain. Caleb moves his army over and begins to set himself against the city that God told him he could have. Caleb saw what needed to happen. Caleb positioned himself in the place. And then Caleb took the sword from his sheath and was not scared to come against and to act in what he knew needed to happen. And tonight, you see what needs to happen? Do you see what needs to happen for this church to have exponential, explosive growth? Do you see what needs to happen? If you can see what needs to happen, raise your hand. You see what needs to happen, bro? You see what needs to happen, brother? You see what needs to take place? For this church to receive exponential, explosive growth. You know what needs to happen in order for there to be miracles, in order for grandchildren to receive the Holy Ghost, lost family members to receive the Holy Ghost. You know what needs to happen for there to be a breakthrough and a liberty in the Holy Ghost that eye has not seen and ear has not heard. Do you know what needs to take place? If you know what needs to happen, I want you to get it locked up in your mind right now, every eye closed. I want you to get it locked up in your mind. If you know what needs to happen, you don't need to be sitting down anymore. You don't need to be sitting on the sidelines anymore. You don't need to be benched anymore. You need to get up off that bench. You need to get up out of that security. You need to get up out of that neglect and begin to run to the place where you know God wants to use you. You need to run to the place that you know that God is calling you into. Thank you. It's time to position Moss Bluff. I'm not going to press this thing. I'm not going to yell and scream and shout tonight. It's going to be on you. It's going to be on your prayer. It's going to be on your expression of faith. It's going to be on your desire. It's going to be on you that steps out and begins to make something happen that has never happened before.
God's waiting for the empowerment of the Holy Ghost right now. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. God is literally waiting. God is waiting. He's already got the revival planned. He's already got the harvest ready. He's already got men and women throughout the city that have never heard of God. He's already got backsliders that are beginning to thirst for the power of God. He's got ones that have never known about God that are ready. He's got spiritual gifts that he wants to pour out upon this church. They are all ready right now. They are waiting in the throne room of heaven as we speak. What you have to understand is God wants to release them. God wants to gift them. And God wants to use them. But he's got to have somebody that can see it and that can position themselves and is not scared to carry it out.
It's easier to adapt than it is to change. And if I just keep going along in the flow of this, my life will be easier. I'm in a place of comfort, folks. I'm trying to be very, very general tonight. But comfort is a killer. And we're going along and things are in my comfort zone. Church is in my comfort zone. And the Lord's saying, I'm not comfortable with what you're comfortable with. I'm not comfortable with what you're comfortable with. I need a playmaker. I need a young man that might not have everything together, but is willing to step out in the spirit of David and say, hey guys, don't worry about this Philistine. I got this tonight. We need young men that are willing to step out in the middle of a service where everything feels dead. From the beginning, when the first note is struck on the piano, we need young women and young men. We need moms and dads that are willing to go into a prayer room before the service ever starts and begin to call something to take place. Men and women that will step out of obscurity, that will get themselves off the bench and throw themselves in to the fray that God has before you. We need men and women. You might not have a perfect life. You might not have a perfect marriage. You might not have a perfect family, but something on the inside of you has got to rise up. Something on the inside of us as a church has got to rise up and begin to say, I want to see something happen. I want to see healings. I want to see miracles. I want to see the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I want to see it.
Brother Carney, how do we make it happen? You've got me convinced. I want to do it. If you know that it takes you lifting up your voice and shouting aloud unto the Lord in order for something to take place, who is that crying right now over here on my right hand side? Who is that crying? Stand up here. It's my wife. Come on up here, baby. Rebecca, come up here. If we think that moves of the Holy Ghost happen because we want them to happen or because we wish that they would happen, we're wrong. There is nothing that is ever won
because we wished it would happen or want it to happen. It never happens. I want to be used in a greater fashion, but that don't mean nothing, does it? I wish that I'd be used in a greater fashion, but it doesn't happen. I've got to position myself. I've got to see what needs to happen, position myself, and then I might not be able to catch that ball. Brother Pugh, I might not be able to catch that ball the first time that you throw it to me, but I gotta position myself, and I might miss it the first couple of times, but I gotta keep positioning myself in the place where maybe I can catch it one of these times. I'm not perfect at the game, but I want it more than anything else in my life. I want to receive something that I've never received before. You might not get it the first time, but honey, if you keep trying it, you're gonna grab a hold of something that you've never grabbed a hold of before, all because you were willing to initiate yourself. How were you able to catch it? How were you able to catch it? He was ready for it. I want you to close your eyes, lift up your voice, and get yourself ready for what God wants to pour out upon you. Rebecca, come here. I'm not trying to make a spectacle out of you. I didn't know who was praying like that. I didn't know who was praying like that. I'm not just trying to use her because she's my wife. Rebecca, you were down on the floor back there, were you not? I want you to do it again. Because the only way that we break through, it doesn't happen because we wish it would happen. It doesn't happen because we want it to happen. It happens because we begin to make it happen. We begin to break through barriers. We begin to press aside our flesh. We begin to push aside fears and doubts. We begin to open up our hearts to the Spirit of God and allow His presence to begin to flow down deep within our hearts. When we allow Him to move within us, that's when it begins to happen. That's when God says, you've stopped limiting me. You've stopped limiting me. You've stopped Come on, somebody, take the limitation off of God. Give yourself into the Holy Ghost and watch what God will do. Ladies, do you see what needs to happen? If you see it, raise your hand. You see it? Then right now, I want you to position yourselves physically what you see in your mind. Position yourselves. If it's a change, whatever that you need to do, I want you to position yourself right now. You see what needs to take place. You see what needs to happen. I want you to position yourselves. Thank you, sis. Sis, is that what you saw in your mind? You saw yourself down at this altar? Position yourselves, but still look. Still look at me before you kneel down, before you start praying. Look at me. Ladies, you see what needs to happen? Now you positioned yourself. Now you're not going to praise God. You're not going to worship God. You're not going to call out to God and fear what you are deficit in. I want you to lift up your voice in victory. As you lift up your voice, I am telling you the play right now. I'm calling the play out right now. You're going to lift your voice up with victory. Every sound that comes out of your mouth is not going to be in defeat. Every sound that comes out of your mouth is going to be with joy and with overcoming. Right now, ladies, I want you to lift up your voice. I want you to obey, and I want you to act on what you know needs to happen. I want you to thrust yourself in to becoming the playmaker right now. Lift up your voice, ladies, with victory and with joy. Men, do you see what needs to happen? If you see what needs to happen, raise your hand. Raise your hand. We're not going to have Holy Ghost breakthroughs without intercession in the Spirit. If you see what needs to happen, men, if you see a vision in your mind, visualizing what needs to take place. If you can play it over in your mind, what you think needs to take place, what you can see working in the spirit, I want you to begin to move yourself and begin to do that right here. I want you to move yourself, position yourself. If it's on your knees, if it's on your face, wherever and however that it is, position yourselves. Get yourselves ready to receive what God wants to pour out. Your position now. I don't want any fear. I don't want any timidness. I don't want you to worry about what your voice sounds like. I want you to lift up your voice and I want you to begin to act. I want you to begin to move and do what you have seen that needs to happen in your mind. If you feel like dancing, if you know, if you need to shout, if you need to fall on your face, begin to do it right now.